From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called The Spirit of Adoption, the 10th in a series of messages dealing with Romans chapter 8. The text is verses 15 through 18, in which the Apostle Paul shows that having delivered believers from condemnation through the sacrifice of Christ, the Holy Spirit brings them into the liberty of God's adopted sons. Not only are they now children of God, but they are joint heirs with Christ, possessing all that he possesses. Then the Holy Spirit assures believers of their security. Paul speaks of Christians suffering with Christ that they may also be glorified together. Being joint heirs with the Savior and suffering with him will ultimately lead to being glorified with him. Before Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of the message, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Purity of Heart and Life. The text is Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Purity, even purity of heart, is the main thing to be aimed at. We need to be made clean within through the Spirit and the Word, and then we shall be clean without by consecration and obedience. There is a close connection between the affections and the understanding. If we love evil, we cannot understand that which is good. If the heart is foul, the eye will be dim. How can those men see a holy God who love unholy things? What a privilege it is to see God here. A glimpse of him is heaven below. In Christ Jesus, the pure in heart, behold the Father. We see him, his truth, his love, his purpose, his sovereignty, his covenant character. Yea, we see himself in Christ. But this is only apprehended as sin is kept out of the heart. Only those who aim at godliness can cry, Mine eyes are ever towards the Lord. The desire of Moses, I beseech thee, show me thy glory, can only be fulfilled in us as we purify ourselves from all iniquity. We shall see him as he is, and everyone that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. The enjoyment of present fellowship and the hope of the beatific vision are urgent motives for purity of heart and life. Lord, make us pure in heart, that we may see thee.
Me and prove if I indeed am thine.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the LTBS radio website, but we are now making available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of it free of charge simply by requesting it. You may email ltbs at freepres.org, that's ltbs at freepres.org, or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns.
The third thing the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of adoption, does is that He shows believers the property they possess in Christ. Verse 17, if we're children, then we're heirs. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. It's one of the most amazing statements in all the Bible. We're children of God. We're adopted into the family of God. But Paul's saying, I want you to stop and see what that means. This is a text that's written against the background of Roman law. Every person who read this would be aware of what the law said about this matter of adoption. And when one was adopted into the family, the result was that all the benefits and all the blessings that that family, that father, would have to give, the inheritance, legally belonged to that adopted child. And Paul is saying that you're children of God. The Holy Ghost is witnessing. You're crying, Abba, Father. What does that mean? Well, if you're children, then you're the heirs of God. Legally, you have a right. That sounds to be very strong language. But that's what the meaning is. You're heirs of God. You are the legal heirs of the God of glory. Heirs of God. And then he goes even further and he makes this astounding statement. You are joint heirs. The Greek text simply is the word that gives us the word equal. It's equal heirs. You're standing on the very same footing as the Lord Jesus Christ with Him, equally. Heirs of God. If the Bible didn't say it, we'd be afraid to say it. But that's what the Bible says. In other words, as children of God, we stand to inherit our Father's vast estate in and with the Lord Jesus Christ. How often have we thought of the words of Ephesians 1:3? Quoted them without really stopping to think them through. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What does that mean? Well, really, is there any great difficulty in understanding what it means as far as the words go? He's blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings. Now, I have to stand back in absolute amazement and then start confessing sin. When I look back over my life and see how I've lived my life in the light of that text, I'm ashamed. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Why on earth are we living like paupers spiritually? Why on earth are we as Christians staggering from pillar to post? When God says, I have blessed you with all spiritual blessings. Now, He gives you a list of some of them. I've blessed you with election. This really shows you how subtle the devil is and how stupid we are. God says, I've blessed you with election. And yet Christians, they want to make that a theological football. They want to fight about it. They want to argue about it. They want to make it into some philosophical debate. God says, no, this is a blessing. You were on your way to hell. There was not a thing in the world you could do about it. Nobody else could help you. You had no time for me, no heart for me, no love for me. And I chose you when there was nothing lovely about you. I chose you. It's a blessing. One thing that adoptive parents can always tell their adopted children, you're not here by accident. You're not an unwanted child. A mother might have thrown you out, but you're not an unwanted child. Biologically, parents take what they get. Ask my parents, they might have a few things to say about that. But you're here because we chose you. We chose you. Didn't have to take you. We chose you. God is saying, this is the blessing. I've given you the blessing of predestination. I've predestined you. I've set your horizons. I've established with absolute certainty your eternal future. I've redeemed you. Oh, with the precious blood of Christ, I give you a complete redemption. With the forgiveness of sins. Oh, what a gift that is. What a gift that is. I've given you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge. If you look at what God says He gives you, He says, I've given you the spirit who is the down payment of heaven. When God gives you the Holy Ghost, He gives you the first installment of eternal heaven, eternal glory. He is the earnest, the guarantee, the first payment. He is the earnest of our inheritance. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I love the first chapter of 1 Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Listen, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Listen to this. Incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, listen, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again. We have been brought to life, to a new life, in a risen Savior who has forever conquered death. The first chapter of 2 Peter is along the same line, at least up to a point. According as His divine power hath given unto us what? All things that pertain to life and godliness. That's a wonderful statement. Everything that has to do with life. Everything that has to do with godliness. The divine power has given it to us. Listen, Christians are not victims. Christians are not victims. Christians are not paupers. Christians are not pawns. Christians are kings and priests unto God. Christians are invested with the very inheritance of the God of glory. Christians have been given everything that Christ has merited. Everything. We have great property. This is the treasure that's not on earth, it's in heaven. This is the treasure that neither moth nor rust can corrupt, and that thieves can never steal. This is the blessing that belongs to the people of God, the riches of God's grace. The fourth thing the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of adoption, does is to assure believers of their security. Now, in verse 17, we read, "If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Then it goes on, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," etc. Now, there's obviously a reference here in the suffering to suffering with Christ and suffering because you're a Christian. That's always been the case. If you're a Christian, the world is not going to like it. The suffering takes different forms at different times and different places. But generally, if any man will live godly in Christ Jesus, he'll suffer persecution. The world isn't going to like it. And sometimes the most bitter opposition is going to come from the professing Christian church. People who are spiritually moribund do not like spiritual life. And that's why the Church of Rome, for example, the book of the Revelation is described as being drunk with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. So, yes, there is this natural reference here to persecution. But why are we persecuted? You know, I don't think I'm pushing Paul's thought too far when I think there's a suggestion here of something deeper. The apostle has been at pains throughout this epistle to show that we were one with Christ in his death. Romans chapter 6, we died when Jesus died. In other words, we suffered and we died in Christ. And according to Romans chapter 6, verse 5, those who die in Christ, they'll be in the likeness of his resurrection. And while Paul's primary reference to suffering here is suffering as Christians, he says, in effect, suffer joyfully because this is just for a time. And there's better things to follow. If you suffer with Christ, you'll certainly reign with Christ. But I think the basis of all that is that we suffered in him and we died with him. And we've been raised together with him. But certainly the teaching of the apostle here is we have security. There are three things that I'm not going to preach them as individual points, but I like the symmetry. We are heirs together. Heirs together. We suffer together. And then we're glorified together. Do you get the pattern? Together, together, together with Christ. Here is a link that nothing can sever. Here is a union that nothing can dissolve. Here is a oneness that will stand the test of time, the test of death, the test of the judgment, the test of eternity. There's no breaking this chain. Heirs together, sufferers together, we'll be glorified together.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.